Come here, Happy.
Yes, Mumsy?
Happy, would you like to continue living with us, your loving natural parents? Or would you rather live with this twisted, loveless billionaire?
Let's roll.
Wait, you forgot your bear, a symbol of your lost youth and innocence. Oh, well, at least we still have his little brother, George.
Bum, 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 bum. Oh, the sun shines bright on my old Kentucky home. Bum, 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 bum. Trust me, it'll be funny when I'm an old man.
Welcome to Put It in H, a Die Hard Simpsons podcast. My name is Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how the hell are you?
Terry, let me tell you, I am doing very, very well. And you?
I too am well.
Glad
as
to
always.
Hear it. Glad to hear it, pal. Anything strange or wonderful going on in your world?
Not so much strange and wonderful, but something a little sad. I don't know if you saw the news today. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. No.
Beloved creator of cartoon show SpongeBob SquarePants, Steven Hillenburg, passed away today.
I did not know that. How did that happen? He mustn't have been that old, was he?
He was in his 50s, and he was diagnosed with that ALS last year.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So, I just wanted to maybe rip that band-aid off.
Well,
quickly.
That's a real downer. Oh, no, that's terrible.
Yeah. Because it's such a great show, I guess, that even
how
as...
How long was it still going on for?
I think it's still going on.
Really?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
It must be nearly season 20 by now.
I don't know. Like, that's the thing. I could never tell what seasons were what.
It's a sign of a good show.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you have a particular favorite episode of SpongeBob?
The one that made me laugh the most was, and I was on, I remember where I was in Thailand with Brian, and we've been traveling around for ages, and
yeah.
It was kind of, we'd stopped in a really nice resort, and it was like on the beach, but the two of us were just like wrecked. We were chilling in the afternoon. And he was asleep on his bed in the room, and I was just flicking around TV. You know, sometimes they'd have like HBO, or they'd have whatever. And they had SpongeBob, and it was the episode where, remember, he tattle, is it the Tattletale Strangler or the Tattletale Bandit?
Yeah.
Or is, and it was, your man was pretending to be his bodyguard all day. I think he just had a fake mustache on. But at one point, it was like he couldn't get into his house, and he's like, "I'll give you a boost," and he's like, "Okay, sure." And then it just cuts to like him lifting over his head, and it's a different. You know what they used to do with that, like when they zoom in on the drawing, it's like that, and he's like wearing these like, I don't know, they're supposed to be like golf shoes. They had like giant spikes on the bottom of his, on the soles of his feet, and like
brilliant.
Went into your man's eye sockets. But I remember like having to like put my hands over my mouth because I knew I would wake Brian up with like the guffaws that were going to erupt out of me.
Brilliant. I love that.
What about you?
A few moments stand out for me. There was one great episode where they're covering what they think is a dead body, and they're trying to like, they're dragging it around town, basically. Did you ever see that episode?
Yeah.
And
super dark.
Yeah, but I think probably the biggest single laugh was where Squidward's lost with SpongeBob and Patrick, and because they keep consulting the magic conch.
Yeah.
And then the police officer, who seems so normal, is like, he's like, "Officer, you gotta help me. They're talking to a magic conch." Like, "Did you say magic conch?" "You mean like this?" And like, his eyes go so goofy, and his tongue comes right out of his mouth. Skinner is like, "Oh no!" And then SpongeBob, Patrick, and the officer are all like, "Oh no, 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 no!" It's just like all hope is lost for Squidward.
Yeah. Where else, so Squidward?
Anyway.
Great show. And he'll be missed.
He will definitely be missed.
That's, he was a marine biologist, I believe. He was a marine biologist enthusiast, and that's how he came up with the show.
That's brilliant.
We move topics quickly. Mm-hmm. Following hot on the heels of our Conan O'Brien episode last week.
Yes.
I came across a new podcast this week.
Oh.
Called Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend.
A Conan podcast?
Yes.
I'll tell you what, I was only about an hour ago watching some more of that Team Coco sketches on YouTube that he does with like his staff or with like celebrities.
Who's the staff? Is it like, who's his assistant? Some girl? Sonia?
Yeah, Sona.
Yeah, she's on the podcast with him.
Is she? Jordan Schlansky on the podcast?
No, I think they talked about him one of the episodes. Yeah. There's only two episodes up. The first one is Will Ferrell.
Oh, unbelievable.
It's his whole thing of like, he's like, all the people having my shows and they just come in and out of my life. I was like, I want to see, could we be friends, really? But it's just basically a long form interview process. But the one with Will Ferrell,
it's
really, really funny. Like,
Conan himself is like as funny as the funniest guy I've seen on TV. Like, he's just, every time I see him, I'm laughing at something he says or does. Like,
he's just.
And I don't even watch the show that much, but it's all the extras I see.
I like the show, I have to say.
I do like it, I just never really get to watch it. But.
No, I mean, it used to be on whatever, 3E or whatever like that. Like, but,
yeah.
Other than that. But I would recommend the podcast.
I will definitely check that out.
You know.
Sometimes I am just humouring you, but I will actually definitely check this one out.
I know you have a vested interest in that. Like, yeah. So.
You knew you had me already.
Yeah, exactly. Conan O'Brien.
I did come across, by the way, Switching Gears on Twitter. where, I don't know if you've seen, like, it's like on Garda Síochána, which to our American listeners is basically the Popo.
Listen to you, the Popo.
The 5-0, the fuzz, the bacon.
Yeah.
They had like a thing on Twitter where they were posting about some case or some crime or something where a car was like hotwired with like a fork or something.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a fork dug in, and someone commented like, "That's not a."
That's I saw a fork, this. I knife. Think.
Yeah, or something like that. That's a spoon, and then he's like, "I see you played knifey spoony before." They replied. I thought like, "There's a nice bit of sense of humor that you don't always get with on Garda Síochána."
What I saw, I think, was like on the Irish Simpsons fans thing. I was like that picture.
Oh, really?
And it was like, put it in H, and it was the picture of your man, Crazy Backlow. And then I was like, I didn't know how to do it at the time. I was like, how do I tag the podcast?
You just put an at in front of, put, then it would pop up.
the Luddite in me, it's systematically squandering opportunities to get our podcast out there.
What a great chance we had.
You blow it.
that Irish Simpsons fans is an absolute treasure trove of comedy.
I saw a good one there. I don't know if you heard about this Ballybrack football team.
No.
So basically it's just come out today. Apparently they're Leinster Senior League, and apparently they were up near the top of the league, but they were missing a load of players, so they had a death on the team. But it was like, it wasn't like, oh, somebody's granddad or somebody died. It was like, one of our ex-players died. And it was like, this Spanish lad they had playing for them, he was a foreign exchange student or something. Yeah. But they basically said he died, and there was like an obituary and like minute silence and all over the weekend. And then it turns out that it was like, no, he's like safe living at home in Spain or whatever like that. But there was already today, Irish Simpsons fans. It was like the one where Lisa brings Bart into the parents' bedroom, and it's like, Mom, Dad, Bart's dead. But it's like, Fernando's dead. And like, that's right, dead right about, dead serious about moving back home to Spain to be happy and healthy. It's like,
brilliant.
Never miss a trick.
It's really a good way to stay on top of current events as well. That's where I get a lot of information from, where I'll see it first on that, and then I'll get the actual story 2 days later.
There was so much like Brexit posting on it.
I know.
I don't get any of this.
I'm waiting. I don't get Brexit. Yeah. I'm just going to put it out there right now. I don't get it. I mean, I get it in theory. In like a sentence, I could explain it, but yeah. I wouldn't be able to answer anything after that.
As long as you have no follow-up questions, yes. Yes, I get it. Let's enough dancing around digression. Here. Yeah, let's get into the episode. What do you got for us today?
We have Season 5, Episode 4, Rosebud. I've got a bit of factoids and trivia for you. Please. It aired on October 21st, 1993, with a Nielsen rating of 11.9. It got a very good critical reaction. Entertainment Weekly placed the episode as fourth on their list of the 25 best episodes of The Simpsons.
Ever?
Ever, which is high praise. Yeah. As far as the production goes... it was written by John Swartzwelder, who is, in my eyes, as big a seal of approval as Conan O'Brien, if not more.
Absolutely.
Back in those days, when you see him, you know it's an absolute like gem.
Just gem, yeah.
Yeah. It was produced and run by David Merkin, who enjoyed working on the episode so much that he spent an enormous amount of time on post-production, experimenting with various elements, and he had a few different endings. The backstory to Bobo. Say that there was one where he was supposed to be involved in the assassination of John F. Kennedy, but it was cut because they felt it was in bad taste.
It was pretty funny though.
Or where they're destroyed by invading Canadian troops at the end instead of like cyborgs or whatever like right. that. There was some other one about the planet being overrun by giant redwoods and spotted owls. So like
giant really, trees, like
I guess like.
Okay.
And then as if you wouldn't have guessed it, but one of Matt Groening's favorite scenes.
Let me guess.
Go on.
Is it the cheese?
Yes, it is the cheese. I'm very impressed by that. I feel like he has a line about something being the most hilarious.
They're thing. All his favorites. Yeah. They're all his babies.
They're all his babies. And what I find interesting as well is that it's like, although it was like nearing, would you say nearing its peak at this time? I mean,
see, it's funny because I think you're almost at the top here. Like, I think season 6 is the top, but you're, like, close to it. But, like, I don't think it's at its mass appeal yet. Like,
probably.
You know?
It's still on
like,
the up.
Looking back on it, I'd be like, 5, 6 are the pinnacle. And then, not a huge decline for 7 or 8.
Yeah.
And then a bit 9, 10. And then you start.
Really drop
going off. Quick. Well, lightning hit the antenna there.
But what I find interesting is that, like, because I thought, like, it's still always coming second to Married with Children for on the highest rated Fox show of the week.
Yeah.
So Married with Children was obviously huge.
Well,
I liked it when I was a kid, but like I didn't realize it was so huge.
The thing is, it appeals to like the blue collar American. Yeah. And that's why Roseanne was such a huge hit, and like even
it's
now
like
the revival
whistle blows in extras.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like it's just that like I like My Irish Children, not to say, but like
it.
I don't think it ages particularly well if you look back. Like,
no,
I'm a huge Ed O'Neill fan.
Yeah,
cards on the table.
Cards on the table. Truth time.
Yeah. Okay, you got me.
Why did they come to me today?
Exactly. Yeah. So, can I throw a bit of trivia at you?
Please, because I am all out.
The Ramones feature in this episode, and yes, they indeed. Were gigantic obsessive fans.
Oh.
And Johnny Ramone died, coincidentally, on September 15th, which, in this episode, is established as Mr. Burns' birthday.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Cosmic. That's interesting now.
Yeah. And that's
kind of spooky.
Pretty much it.
Well, what say we get into the episode proper, as you might say.
Okie doke. We kick off the episode with an homage to a quite famous film. Andy, can you tell me what it is?
Oh boy. Boy, you are really putting me on the spot here. No, Terry, I can't tell you.
Well, if I said the words, we're not in Kansas anymore, Toto.
The Wizard of Oz?
Yeah, that bit. Oh, we oh, we oh.
I didn't know that.
I
don't know if I've ever seen The Wizard of Oz.
How have you not seen that
film? I've seen it in bits, but like, who's sitting down to watch The Wizard of Oz?
At some point in your life, surely.
Even at age like 9 or 11 or whatever age. I mean, it's just never really a movie that appealed to me.
Okay. Anyway. moving swiftly on. And I will say that there is a load of film references in this episode. So I hope you're prepared for...
Well, what I didn't notice was that they're actually saying all we own, we owe, oh.
Yeah.
I just thought they were saying oh, we
owe. Oh, we owe.
Yo. I didn't know they were actually saying words there.
Yeah.
Now I am curious.
Do you know what film they're referencing throughout the whole episode?
Citizen Kane.
There you go.
He redeemed himself. He totally redeemed yourself.
Never seen it though, right?
No, of course not. Oh, heavens.
So afterwards, well, we get Smithers telling the guys to keep it down outside so Burnsy can get a bit of sleep. And we might have played this clip at the start of the episode, but I just love it. Like, I love the little, like, tra-la-la-la, la-la-la-la. I'm the happiest boy there is.
The fact that he makes a point of stating that he's the happiest boy there is.
And then he has his little bear Bobo.
Yeah.
And I love how the parents, his name is Happy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's like, Happy, come here.
Really laying it on thick. Like.
Yeah.
And Happy.
He's like, yes, Mumsy.
It's a great little joke, and it's definitely one of the first ones that's like for the parents, where it's like, at least we still have his little brother, George, where it's like, blah, 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 blah.
My...
The sun shines bright on my old Kentucky home. Blah, 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 blah.
My dad loved that joke. Like, I was like, really? Who's this like old weird old man or whatever? But it was very much one for the parents, definitely.
That's one of the first, I think, like just out and out, like
yeah.
We're deliberately going over the kids' heads here just to give the parents a laugh here.
Sorry, I'm just thinking about the next part when he wakes up and he sees it's Smithers and he's like, oh, it's you, bedpans under my pillow. And Smithers is asking him who Bobo is. He was saying it in his sleep and Burnsy is saying he meant Lobo. Sheriff Lobo. They never should have cancelled that show.
Now, I did some research here.
On Sheriff Lobo?
Yes.
I love the name.
I do love the name. TV Guide ranked it as the number 36 in the top 50 worst shows of all time.
Oh, no, not Lobo!
They never should have cancelled that show.
Makes sense that Homer would be a big fan of it.
Which, while we're at it, TV Guide also ranked this as number 2 in their top 25. Simpsons episodes of all time. Anyway, I kind of want to see Sheriff
Lobo. Save that for the intro.
I couldn't fit it in. I forgot.
I'd say it aged terribly. I'm like, sure.
Like pretty much anything before 1991. Let's face it. Let's call a spade a spade.
No, hold on a second. All
shite.
Cheers.
70s? Early 70s.
Cheers.
I'm more talking movies, to be honest.
Well, you're an idiot. Early Name 70s.
One good movie from earlier than 1972.
Earlier than 90. I have low. Psycho.
Go on.
Psycho.
Wouldn't hold up today, mate.
Yeah, it would. You watch that film, it's still like thoroughly entertaining. It's
too slow. It hasn't what, got the stuff... snap, crackle, and pop of the modern era that I need.
Too slow. Spoilers for Psycho, by the way. He kills off his leading lady like 25 minutes into the film.
I'm just baiting. I'm sure it is.
Unheard of.
I haven't seen it, to be fair. So.
What? Oh my god. Oh, let's get really? Try to get back onto this. So Smithers says the preparations for his birthday have begun, and the creepy side of their relationship comes out, where Burns says he won't get what he wants. And then
What I was going to say is, like, what is Mr. Burns like, or what does Smithers see in him? You know what I mean?
I don't know.
Like, what is it that he's actually getting out of it? Yeah. Like, the fact that he can, that, like, to the point where he'll fantasize about him flying in the window naked. And there's something about the noise he makes where he's like, oh.
Well, that this one was what? Was it he pops out of the cake?
Oh, I'm confusing this. Sorry. I was thinking of the more he flies in the window. That's even worse, the cake.
Yeah, I know.
There's too much crotch going on in that.
I think it's this season as well. Is it Malibu Stacey? Is that this season?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
They really ratchet it up, like,
yeah, with the computer printout.
So we jump over to the Simpson residence, and it's Homer. Nice little callback here to 20 seconds ago. Lobo, Lobo, bring back Sheriff Lobo, Lobo. And when he sees up, he sees the calendar. I love that, where it's like red arrows pointing into, like,
yeah, the entire month, the arrows are all pointing to that date.
And Homer's a bit worried. He says every time Mr. Burns has a birthday, his employees have to help out at the party, and he always gets some terrible job.
Homer is the piñata, of course.
Yeah, he's holding the piñata, and I like the fact that he's like, ow, 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 miss me. Ow. And then it kind of cuts over to the plant, and you sort of see everybody laughing at Homer, and it's a coat hanger down his shirt and then a coat hanger in his pants. They look, I was on this watch, I was like, geez, that looks really painful.
It does, yeah, I did think that too. They look like they're proper dug in there. Again, like, there's something just about the way Mr. Burns delivers the lines, because when he's watching them there on the screen, he's like, that man who's getting all those laughs for this, who is he?
I love when it's like, Homer Simpson, sir, one of your Cameron blobs from Sector 7G.
I like the fact that this is when they started elaborating on what they call it. It's like, one of your seat moisteners from Sector 7G.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I love those little things that they throw in there.
Yeah. The carbon blobs from Sector 7G. Yeah. The fact that, like, so, that's enough for him. He's like, I want this Simpson fellow to perform comedy at my party.
I must harness his factor take on modern life.
I'll get him.
Smithers says, get him started on some snappy Sinbad-esque material.
Sinbad is funny.
Is he?
He is funny. Sinbad is funny. He gets a bad rap. I don't know where to start.
I don't know, yeah. I think it's because he came up through, like, comedy talent shows.
Yeah, and I guess because his name is Sinbad. Kind of like Carrot Top, you're only going to be taking a certain amount of seriousness, I suppose.
Or Gallagher.
What?
Or Gallagher, you know? Gallagher.
Who's Gallagher?
He's the guy that, like, hits the watermelon with the mallet.
I never even heard of that guy.
You know, it's like, he's like, that's his, like, his thing is, like,
that's all he does, prop
comic, but like, he, that's the finale or whatever in his thing.
This guy's, but there's also
Gallagher 2.
Oh my god.
Which is like his brother ripped off his act, like, and what? There's a whole big family feud about,
genuine feud.
Apparently the parents sided with Gallagher 2 rather than Gallagher.
I believe that.
Apparently there's some documentary on it. I'd really like to see
it. I'd kind of like to see it too, just to see what the hell is going on there.
Anyway, back on track again. Homer is at the breakfast table and he is writing a delicious send-up of Mr. Burns' party.
Is poo-poo one word or two?
I love like how Bart and Homer are bonding here over this sort of... Kind of brings me back to when they're writing that letter to Mr. Burns, like, you stink like an elephant's butt.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that common goal of...
You see, they're united because the common goal is to roast someone or to
slag someone off.
Yeah,
and Marge doesn't think it's a good idea to humiliate his boss on his birthday.
Lisa's line is always great. It's like, actually, a tweaking of Mr. Burns' foibles, if done with the greatest of care, earned Dad a special place in the old man's heart.
Well, I also do a delightful impression of him. I paint a frowny face on my butt and pull down my pants.
You couldn't go more lowbrow after Lisa's comment.
So, what does he say? I'm not saying Mr. Burns is incontinent.
Yeah. In fact, the Marge straight away, he's like, does either of you know what incontinent means? Or Lisa says, sorry.
Yeah.
He's like, Lisa, don't spoil our fun.
Did you like how he was dressed? Homer was dressed there with the golf club and
I do sport. Like that. Is that like a Bob Hope?
It is Bob Hope. Oh, very good. Yeah.
I'm back, baby.
It's like time to go. Homer's like, okay, stupid.
Man, what a jerk.
So I love how Marge is like pleading with him. You've got to stop insulting everyone, especially your boss.
Do you ever actually watch those comedy roasts on like Comedy Central or anything like that?
You know what? The newer ones I haven't watched, but like if you go back and you watch like there's one of Jerry Stiller, say for example.
Oh yeah.
Have you seen that one though?
I think I did.
And there's a thing where it's like Sandra Bernhardt, do you know who she is? You would know her face if you saw her. Like, she was an actress in the 80s and the 90s.
Right.
But she does, like, a dance and a song from, like, it's like a striptease type thing. Right. But it's that song by Heart, Magic Man.
I don't think I know that
one. I can't get into it. But afterwards, your man, you know your man, Jeff Ross?
Yeah.
He's now Roastmaster General.
He
is
the Roastmaster General.
This is one of his earlier ones, and he gets up and he's like, oh, Sandra Bernhardt. Wow. He's like, I wouldn't fuck you with B. Arthur's dick. You see her there, like, wagging her finger at him. Like,
That's
now they're like,
ruthless now.
No, but, like, I watched the one with Justin Bieber, say.
Yeah, that was all Justin Bieber arranged.
He was like, I am going to rehabilitate. Like, at the end, he gives, like, a speech about, a great person he is.
Yeah, exactly. It was to do... That one was... As funny as parts of it was, I mean, like, there was... You could tell when I seen, like, the roast of Justin Bieber, I was like, oh, right, as arranged by Justin Bieber.
It's his team, whatever, like, such a PR stunt.
But the thing is, like, there's not... They don't often have a lot of their actual friends on anymore. They just have comedians on just say horrible shit about them.
Yeah.
There was one guy who, like, his dad died in, like, the Twin Towers in 9/11. He's a comedian. Your man who actually used to go out with Ariana Grande, they just broke up. I don't know why. I know.
Pete Davidson?
Yeah. And it was like, this was like, I guess, 15 years after 9/11. And they were like, whoever it was, Natasha Leggero, did you ever hear her? She's hilarious.
She's
ruthless on the roast. And she was talking about his dad. And she's like, but we're not here for the roast of your father. That was 15 years ago. And everyone's just like, oh, shit.
It's
the most ruthless fucking joke I've ever heard. I was like, I can't believe it. But they're all gone that way now.
My favorite one ever is the one, I think it might have been Donald Trump's roast. Maybe not Donald Trump's. Maybe it was Hugh Hefner's roast.
Oh, yeah.
And Gilbert Godfrey got up and it was like, he made a joke about the Twin Towers or whatever. And people are like booing. People in the audience were like booing. And he's like, okay. He's like, a family go into a talent agent's office. And he basically starts going in. He's like, the aristocrat's like, what's your talent? And he's like, well, I fuck my son, and then my wife licks my ass. And, going the whole thing. And, like, everybody on the dais, like, Rob Schneider, like, is falling out of his seat laughing. Like, I don't know if you've seen that documentary on the aristocrats, really, but that's, like, the centerpiece of it, and it's still talked about. Like,
brilliant. I love the fact, I get the joke. I don't know if it'd make me laugh, but I like the whole history behind the joke. But I just like the whole
that's
premise.
That's what makes it funnier.
It's not even, it's a weird joke in that the premise, the punchline is always the same. The joke is in how filthy you can make the middle part, which I just think is fascinating.
You can, who can outdo each other or whatever, like, you know?
Brilliant.
Anyway, back to this.
The roast of Monty Burns.
Yeah. And Homer says, the comedy roast is an American tradition. It's what gives us the freedom to criticize our social betters. Hey, Flanders, you smell like manure.
Uh-oh, better cancel that dinner party tonight. Thanks for the nose news, neighbor.
Which I got a big smile on my face when I heard that.
That's a line that I think we always say, or like, that's a line that I'm always saying to either you or to someone who I think might get it. Just if anyone gives me any news that I think is good news, I say, oh, thanks for the nose news, neighbor.
I like the next bit as well when they're all sort of trying to queue up to get in, and you see, I think it's Reagan get in.
I don't know my American presidents.
But the one that doesn't get in is Bush. He's like, no one term is. It's like,
you too, huh?
And it's like Jimmy Carter. You too, huh? Hey, I know a good yoga place.
Get away from me, loser.
And we get a little weird sort of slideshow, Montgomery Burns.
Yeah.
Alive.
Alive. Yeah.
And
then we get, of course.
Such a great clip. Or such just a great bit, like, where it's like, ladies and gentlemen, the Ramones. Like, these minstrels will soothe my jangled nerves.
What do you think? Even looking at them, like, these minstrels will soothe my jangled nerves.
I just like to say, this gig sucks. Hey, up yours, Springfield.
1, 2, 3, 4. So the wrong band.
Happy birthday, Birdsy. Happy birthday to you.
Now,
go to hell, you old bastard.
Was that line in previous episodes? That
go to hell, you old bastard?
Yeah. I don't remember that.
Yeah, but I think it had been edited out. Because there's another piece of censorship or editing that I will bring up when we get there.
Oh, okay.
I like that bit as well. I was like, hey, I think they liked us. Have the Rolling Stones killed.
And the fact then that, like, afterwards, like, the extravagance that they've gone through, that they've arranged for the people of Australia to join hands and spell out your name with candles. If there's a satellite hookup, if you'll just turn your head slightly, you won't even turn his head.
It's like, bah, no time.
I'll stop proceedings right there, Terry.
Ooh.
We've got ourselves our first clip. So I'll shut my mouth and play it.
I have some sad news to report. A small puppy, not unlike Lassie, was just run over in the parking lot. And now it's time for the comedy stylings of Homer Simpson.
Are you ready to laugh? Oh, that poor dog. I said, are you ready to laugh?
Quiet, you awful man.
You know, Mr. Burns is so cheap.
What?
I mean, you know, Mr. Burns is so old.
How dare you?
Woohoo. Tough crowd. Better bring out the big guns. Here's an impression of Mr. Burns that you might find a little cheeky. Hey, Mr. Burns. Blah, blah, blah. Do this, do that. Blah, blah, blah. I think I'm so big. Blah, blah, blah.
Destroy him.
Blah, blah, blah. Look at me. Bow!
This party is over.
A quality scene there. I love the fact that they just start the whole thing off with like a dog just died, and now the comedy styling.
Yeah. You know. Like really like undercut, like cut his legs out from under him straight away. Like
the poor dog. Yeah. And then the fact
you awful man.
The fact that like, I mean, obviously it goes terribly, and the fact then it's like this party is over and just attacks the guests. It's like a whole first team of mercenaries.
I love the line, destroy him.
Like, how would he not know that Burns would react that way?
That got one of the biggest laughs. He was like, like the riot squad or whatever.
I love it. Great scene.
Yeah. So, and I like the way the next scene, the bump on Homer's head. Like, we talked about the animation last week, and it really feels like they're back to normal with the animation this time around. But just as I was saying that, the faces Burns was making when Homer was like wiggling his arse in his face. But I like the animation of the drawing of like the bump on his head.
Oh yeah, it was definitely a lot better than the one the week before.
The bee like last week.
Jesus, like what was that?
The bee bit my bottom.
It's like just an extra fucking cheek he's got in that episode.
So Homer says he'll never wiggle his bare butt in public again.
I'd like to believe that this time. I really would.
And I like when Marit says for Bart to go get a bag of ice. I like the yes'm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just a little like he's not grating on me. So far this season, too much Bart.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. If anything, I'm finding little things he's doing. Like, oh, I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, he's definitely coming around. Or I'm coming around, should I say. And again, he's still supportive of Homer, where he's like, please don't deny the world of your fat can.
I love that, your fat can. Yeah.
He doesn't even correct him. He's like, don't worry, boy.
He's so... Smithers and Burns are, I don't know where they're walking through. It's like the
basement
room,
I guess,
maybe.
Of all these rare artifacts.
It's like you have King Arthur's Excalibur, the only existing nude photo of Mark Twain, and that rare first draft of the Constitution with the word suckers in it.
Political.
He's like, you want your bear Bobo, don't you?
Immediately he goes, just the same as Rage, liar, I'll give you the thrashing of a lifetime.
Yeah.
I like the fact that just the running joke of Burns is that like he's insanely weak.
Two episodes in a row now.
Or like the other episodes where he's like thrown the pitch or like anything like that. He just can't literally lift a finger.
So then we go into a little montage of what happened to Bobo. And I love this where it's like, well, I put some grease in your garter, Lindy, you're late. It's like, hey. It's the spirit of St. Louis.
Now, what I didn't understand this whole segment was it goes then to Hitler. Where he's like, this is all your fault.
I love that. Like,
but then, like, he just throws it.
How does it get
the way from there to on the top of a submarine 12 years later in the North Pole? Yeah. You know?
I thought that myself.
Sure hope somebody got fired for that one.
And then we get, I think, basically he's frozen in a block of ice.
Now, let me tell you, Terry, I'm going to play the little clip here because it's a fairly memorable little scene. So we'll come back after this.
You've got to start selling this for more than a dollar a bag. We lost 4 more men on this expedition.
If you can think of a better way to get ice, I'd like to hear it.
Yeah, you got me.
Hey, Apu, this bag of ice has a head in it.
Ooh, a head bag. Those are chock full of heady goodness.
I know we talk about this quite a lot, but like, I love this, like, okay, this is, me and you have talked about, especially in another episode where there's like a voice used only twice in a series. Like the memory of man who's like the production assistant or the producer on Radioactive Man. Like, you're fired.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like that's a really unique voice. I think this one always sticks in my head. It's like, I don't think it's ever been used again. We're like, you gotta start selling this more than a dollar bag. We lost four more men on this exposition.
It was delivered like, perfectly as well, yeah. But when, yeah. Like, does he come up, pop up again though?
No, but I just mean like that voice. That style, it's not you. Yeah. That's not used for, say, you know,
like your average.
The record store clerk or something like that. Like, you know, they don't recycle it. Like,
makes
and it goes perfect with his face. Like, and
the
it's,
big tash.
Yeah.
Like they've been on the most hellish journey. Like, yeah, just to get out. It's a great guy. Yeah.
But it's really, as well, it's a great, like, reverse engineered gag, because it's like, we got to find a way to get the doll back to Springfield. And it's like, it's an expedition to the Arctic to get ice.
I would love to know, because I'm pretty sure, like, it's very obvious in, like, season maybe 15 onwards. But, like, I could tell that The Simpsons, like, reverse engineer a lot of their episodes. You can tell that they work backwards a lot of the time, especially in the first few minutes of an episode, because they do it a lot more seamlessly in the earlier days. But then when they didn't have anything sort of like that 10 or 15 years later, you could tell it was like 5 minutes in, they're living in the jungle for a while, but like how they got there is the most mental, like, you know, sequence of events that could only be like reverse engineered. And it's just something that I used to always notice. I'm like, geez, they obviously just had this idea and thought, how are we going to get from there to there? But they just get more like outlandish as the seasons go on.
Yeah, it's way more seamless
at
this point. Like, even something like, I think it's the, like, do as you feel day.
Oh, yeah.
I think that one starts off as, like, they get a trampoline.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't like, and it's like the two aren't connected, really.
Yeah, at all. Yeah.
But it's, you know, like, it's like, oh, it's going to, you know, it starts off with them, Homer buys a trampoline, and then it sort of
turns into seamlessly, something else.
Yeah, but it does it, like, it's not jarring, really, like, you know.
True, actually, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Bart gives a teddy bear that he finds in the bag to Maggie, and you get a nice little... And it's like... well, it's like 100% cotton. And it's
oh,
like,
yeah.
And then it's like Bobo.
It's looking for the label.
Yeah.
Plus, dare I say in this political climate that a poo is rather crooked in this episode, where like... He as far as he's concerned, there's an actual head in the bag of ice. He's like, oh, a head bag. I'm not going to do the accent. Those are chock full of Eddie goodness.
You can't help yourself, though.
I can't. It's weird doing a poo without doing the voice. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I won't do it here. I won't put the show in jeopardy by doing it on there.
Please don't. But that was always sort of his thing. Or maybe, again, is it this season? Is it Homer and a poo?
I think it's later on in the season, yeah.
Yeah, and that's sort of, I guess, where... And, yeah, like, even the first episode where it was like, how much for this aspirin or whatever? He's like, $12.95. Yeah. I can't help but do the voice.
See?
Yeah, you can't help.
Not easy, is it?
And then we get a really disturbing scene where it's like, Smithers like, here's something to cheer you up. It's me, Bobo. Hug me, squeeze me, tug my fur.
Smithers.
It's just like...
he's such a freak.
Yeah.
And why does Burns say leave the costume when he tells him to get
lost? I don't know. That's
is
the
that
thing,
so he can wear it and pretend like he's Bobo? Or is that like a little nod of like, I'll see you later, wink, wink?
No, I don't think it's that. I think it's more that he just...
Yeah, like, I don't know what it is.
I don't think it's that one anyway. I did like the next little bit where it's Kent Brockman.
Terry, I'll stop you right there.
The Burns bear, perhaps the most valuable whittle bear in the world, could be anywhere. It could be in your house. You could be looking at it right now. It could be right in front of your face as I'm saying this, waggling back and forth, perhaps being held up by a loved one.
Maggie, I'm trying to watch TV. Put that moldy old bear down. Moldy? Old? I'm going to get something to eat!
I love gags like this where they're dangling something like right in front of Homer's face, and in this case literally, and he's still not getting it. Like, and just, I mean, it's such a funny, like, the delivery of "I'm gonna get something to eat" is so like, it's kind of like he delivers it like, I've got it, like I figured it out, you know. Yeah. I'm gonna get something to eat, you know. He's so sure.
Like the most valuable whittle bear in the world. I love the just like Ken Brockman's delivery, or the way he enunciates.
Perhaps being held up by a loved one. Being held...
Like, I'm trying to watch TV. And next we're back at the Burns Manor, and it's Professor Frink giving Burns his new bear, and it's programmed to be just as cuddly as his old bear.
Obviously, and of course. Good.
I love the like, like the noise from Burns. Like.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be doing a little dance. Smithers breaks the chair over him. No, bear want to live. And I love the next scene where...
What was the next scene?
All the stuff is going on in the house where Maggie's playing with the bear. Bart is throwing the football around. Lisa is sitting down listening to a record. And it's this sort of real harmonic choir singing.
Oh, yeah.
And Homer falls down the stairs. It's like, oh, son of a... Oh. And then at the very end where he like bounces on the last step. And he's like upside down,
and he lands on his head, and like does it again.
Like, but like the way it's like somebody invisible is like pulling up by the trouser legs or something. Like.
It's that last drop where it's like instead of just falling, it's like he just jumps up again from like landing on his head and lands on his head again.
Yeah. And then the great line's like, "How long have we had these fish?" But even the fact that it's like, you know, the football knocks over the lamp and it, that illuminates through the fish. And all. It's just really well done.
Yeah, I like that.
And then they're sitting around and they realize it's Burns' bear. And he's like, he's not going to get this back cheap. He's going to have to give me my own recording studio. Two wall beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickle, onions on the sesame seed.
You're dwelling on the mic again. What song was he? Were they parodying there?
It's a McDonald's burger song. Oh, that's what it was. Yeah,
I like the fact that Marge, you know, well, first of all, Bart saying, you know, like let's send Burns the eye in the mail and you'll think the bear is in danger. And then I like, even like in the last episode, we had like Marge having no tolerance for the nerds, and now we have like greedy Marge where she's like, I'm sure he'll offer us a fair reward and then we'll make him double it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. Marge being greedy once in a while.
I like when he's like, let's send the eye in the mail. We pay more money. And it's like Homer's like, yes, we'll send the eye. And this next is one of my favorite Simpsons jokes ever.
Oh.
Where he gives him back Bobo. And he's like, I'll never leave you behind. He's like, and he's like, oh, yes. Naturally, I can't pay you much reward because I'm a little strip for cash. It's like, all the money like falls down, and like the crown falls on his head. And he's like, oh, as you can see, this place is just falling apart.
Why wouldn't he at least just grab some of it? Or at least offer him some of it? Like,
but I love it's like, reject the first offer. Reject the first offer.
May I offer you a drink?
Sorry, Burns, no deal.
And that was such a funny, I actually got a big laugh out of this where he's like, don't worry Smithers, he's playing hardball now, but it won't take long for him to crack. And then he's just sitting there and you hear that big cracking sound.
It's like a wishbone cracking or something. Like,
I gotta go, Burns, maybe I can still get that drink.
Yeah. I love the animation of him trying to dial the phone and they're all on a limb. Yeah.
The finger wiggling, trying to hit the button. Yeah,
it's pretty... It's very reminiscent to last week as well, where he was going after the pig.
Yeah.
And then, but then when Burns shows up at the door, he still has them wrapped on his limbs.
Yeah.
I knew you'd come crawling back. And he was going to get $1 million and 3 Hawaiian islands. Good ones, not the leper ones.
Like, the fact that, like, he accepts that, done, now give me the bear.
Yeah.
Then, where he's like, here you go. And then, like, Maggie's taking the baby. Now, I'm just going to say, if this was me, and say Joni had a teddy bear, and all I had to do was deal with her crying for 5 minutes by... And see, this is what you don't do. You don't just take the bear. You got to replace it with something. You got to like, oh, look, but what about this? It's got blah, blah, blah. I would take the bear for $1 million. Maggie, when she's 20 years old, will say, I can't believe you didn't take the bear off me that time.
It would set us up for life. Yeah, like,
absolutely, yeah. I would take
it. I love the bit where he's like... He's like, give me the bear. It's like, Smithers like, the bear.
And then that's it. The deal's off. I mean, fair play.
Yeah.
But, you know,
better and then he's like, oh, who needs money? We're getting money. Okay. Cue grandpa.
Absolutely smashes into the front of the house.
You gotta help me. I hit 3 people on my way over here. I don't have any insurance. I love how calm he is. Then he's like, so how about you?
I hit 3 people on the way over. Yeah. He absolutely just floors it through the wall as well.
And then we get, I think, these couple of little, almost like vignettes are some of your favourites.
Yeah. Where they're trying to get into the house.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if they work more as like visual.
I think they're visual ones, definitely. Like.
Yeah. Well, when he's like, I mean, first of all, where he's where he shoots the thing, and they just end up getting stuck right in the middle of it. But yeah, Flanders then, where he's like, "Howdy, gents. What can I diddly do?" The fact that like even in the middle of the night, Flanders opens up his skylight or whatever, and there's 2 men in black. He still greets them with like, "Howdy, gents. What can I do you for?" It's like the nicest man in the world.
I like that. That's like in and out in 18 seconds. It's just stuck in between.
And then, like, what do you think of the 64 slices of American cheese gag? Is it one of the most hilarious in Simpsons history?
I think it's quite iconic.
Yeah.
And I do think it's great that, like, he just doesn't see them and he just sits there, like, scoffing his face. Like, yeah. And, like, the line at the end, like, I think I'm blind.
And the fact that, like, he'll sit there in his underwear, like, you get a little window into Homer's, like...
Yeah, this is what he gets up to affairs. When the cameras aren't rolling. Yeah. So, at the plant, there's people want to come see the geek who valued the happiness of his children more than money, a.k.a. Homer.
Oh, you said his head was the size of a baseball.
Yeah, I like that line. And then, of course, he's like, my life can't get any worse. Homer Simpson, report for much worse duties.
And then, like, I like the fact that it's like, he's the one, like, just getting whipped, like, by turning this giant thing, and it just turns, like, the donut thing. And they're like, I wonder what makes it turn. Who cares?
Who cares? Now, this, I was going to interrupt you when you said replace it.
Yeah,
you know, replace the bear with something. Like, and he does that, and then it's like so infuriating that it's like, if you'd have just give her the box. Like,
she wants it and everything.
Yeah, I like the next bit as well because Marge is complaining that might need a new hair dryer, and she says, "Oh, she doesn't hate Homer for doing it."
Yeah,
came through for a daughter when it's needed, and he's like, "Oh, thanks, Marge. It'll take a lot more than this to comfort this tortured soul." It's like, puts the box on his head, like, "Hey, Boxy."
And then then.
And I believe we're going to get a little bit of an insight into what the residents are watching on TV.
We will indeed. Tune in, won't you? And we'll be back after this.
Give me my bear, Simpson.
Ah! It's the Soul Fast Transit System!
Give it to me.
El yo-yo is grande. Thank you, as you can see, Simpson, I have taken over all 78 channels, and you won't see any of your favorite shows again until you give in.
Whoa, that bite.
Holy crap!
What's that you say? You can live without television as long as you have beer?
That's right.
Wrong. All beer trucks heading towards Springfield have been diverted. This town will be as dry as a bone. And if the rest of you beer-swilling tube jockeys out there have a problem with this, talk to Homer Simpson.
Homer, give him what he wants. Oh, Barney, leave me alone. Whoops! Uh-oh!
Smithers, I'm home!
What? Already?
Yes.
Is it my imagination or is TV getting worse?
Well, it's about the same. Uh-oh! Look out, Smithers! I love this show.
It's a long clip.
Yes, sir.
But my God, it has one of my favorite errors. It's the Soul Mass Transit System.
It's so good. And
I love how Burns like, give it to me, Homer.
The fact that he's just running from channel to channel.
Yeah. It's like, and that makes me, it's like, oh, okay, I get it. They're all filmed in Springfield in the one studio, like running to studio one, studio two.
Yeah. He's just going from set to set, like. And how does he know which one Homer changes to as well? Like, whatever he goes to, he's there.
Yeah.
And the sitcom is just, is so funny. I don't know, I can't even put my finger on what it is, but it's just the canned laughter at everything. Yeah. And it's like, what, already? Like, yes.
Yes. But even, like, it gets kind of dark in the middle of that clip there, where he's like, Barney shows up and he's like, Homer, give him what he wants.
Yeah, they're going.
It's like, whoops. And it's like,
someone obviously gets shot.
Yeah, and a woman is screaming, and then the cops are called, but Barney's still on the loose, apparently. And we did skip a little bit in between where it was, it's not a very important part, but
yeah, we stuck to the goods.
There was like Bart, I actually quite like the animation of Bart where he's like almost like frozen in place and the four bullies around him.
Oh yeah.
It's like, my old man can't get a beer because his old man won't give a beer to another old man. It's like, let's get him.
The fact that, like, I don't even, like, does Martin's voice sound weird where he's like, look, fellas, yeah, the first name dragon of the season.
Yeah. But I like, I don't know, I just think Jimbo is actually quite a hilarious character.
Yeah, when his he's voice
like
is that, funny.
Like, wait, why are we getting him?
I don't believe it. Now my pants are chafing me.
Well, not that Jimbo. Like, the Jimbo where it's like, he's an idiot, like, when he doesn't have a clue what's going on, like.
But which Jimbo are you talking about?
No, not the Jimbo where he's like, hey, baby.
I've totally confused myself.
What I'm saying, the incarnation of Jimbo.
Oh, I get it, right. I'll move swiftly on there.
Yes, please do.
So where are we, Terry? Like, yeah.
So there's a mob at the door, and
Homer, Springfield mob.
I love how Homer's like, look who's come to apologize, like not rectifying the like danger of the situation.
Yeah, not recognizing that he's in extreme danger. Yeah.
Yeah. And they sort of, I think it's Mo that takes the bear.
It's always Mo who's leading these groups, and they're supposed to be friends. Like, Mo is always the one who's always like the first one to jump all over Homer or the Simpsons when they do something wrong.
And then it's Hibbert. Oh, actually, what I did like was that Jasper was like, what have we become?
We've given the word mob a bad name.
But there, did you notice that there was a little bit in there where it's like, they're like, everybody leaving, and it's like, oh, she'll break a few hearts, Homer.
I never noticed that before.
Yeah.
I'm always a fan of, like, something just being said in the distance, you know?
Yeah.
Like, Father Ted has the best one with the Fargo Boyle. Fucking hell. You know? I always laugh at a well-placed one.
Mm.
And then the fact that they completely switch from angry mob to let's go sing at the hospital.
We've got high hopes. I like how next, and we're kind of coming up to the end here, but he's like, look what you've reduced me to, and then it's like he snaps his fingers rather than get on his knees himself.
He's really like a slave almost in this episode. He's telling the guards at the start to be quiet. He's fantasizing about him in a cake. He's arranged for Australia to join hands and spell out his name. He just keeps doing all these things, dressing up in a bear suit and all this sort of stuff. It's just peak Smithers in this episode.
Peak geek Smithers?
You might say.
So Burns goes around the back, and I like this where he's like, good send today, huh?
Yeah. I quite like that scene, Maggie, I don't know why, where he just tries to relate to the baby.
Good yeah. send today. He's like, oh, well, I don't normally, but well, just this once. Now, here's a bit of censorship.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that they used to bleep out, not even bleep, it was just be like, damn you. And it'd be like blank.
They couldn't say paparazzo?
Not that they couldn't, but that they wouldn't.
Why not?
Can you tell me why?
I absolutely cannot tell you why. That's crazy. Why not?
It was in the aftermath of the death of Princess Diana.
And do you think that...
Definitely that it was because the whole the way she died and the paparazzi.
Wow. I didn't even piece that together at all.
Yeah. It was always that sort of... Because when enough time passed, then it was... Especially on Sky One, anyway.
Yeah.
That it was there before and then it was gone and then it was back in.
I never noticed that. I would have... You're going to give me a million guesses in this episode and I never would have picked that word as the one that got censored. Or that they censored.
Well, there you go. I like how they're sort of... I'm sure it Burns, like, again, trying to reason with her. He's like, I'm sure we could come to some sort of agreement. Beaten by an infant. What could be more humiliating?
What a scoop!
I'm absolutely cracking up with that. I don't know what it is. Again, a well-placed what a scoop. It's just funny.
I love it. Like, Burnsy wants Maggie to do something for him. Hang on to that bear. Don't make the same mistake he did. And then she gives him the bear.
Yeah, which is nice. I'm so happy.
I love that. Like, something amazing. I'm actually happy.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, and then it's like, of course, undercuts it. He's like, I'm going to be only good and kind to everyone. Take a note.
Yeah. I'm sorry, sir. I don't have a pencil.
And he's like, oh, I'm sure I remember it. But for the second episode in a row, we get the sort of, and I'm only like rewatching these episodes. I'm seeing, geez, how far ahead of the curve the Simpsons were when they're like, is it a happy ending or a sad? It's like, it's an ending. That's enough. Yeah. Like, you know,
especially when you put it in the context of Diana. Like, I'm like, Jesus, it was all the way back then. Even though obviously 93 or whatever it is.
It was 93. And when did she die?
I guess it was...
96? 97? I think it was about 10.
Oh, so it wasn't 10, even 11. The same... Sorry, when you even said that, I thought it was because it happened at that time.
No, it was like... But they when censored the rerun, it later. It was, yeah, when the rerun was on, like...
I get
you. So, like, because it was in, say, the original...
Well, then I don't know if they should have done that, if it was already out.
But it was, you know, it was at around the time of it happened, so, like... I think they were trying to, you know...
I suppose...
You know, it was only for a time anyway.
Yeah, I get it.
But just because what I was talking about there was like how, you know, commenting on the ending.
Yeah.
If you look at like Family Guy, whatever season they're in, they're like, oh, we've done this so many times. Why don't we just do the sounds of it? Or like,
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
like that sort of stuff, and I feel like that is quite lazy.
Yeah.
Whereas this one is done like quite cleverly, or quite like
they're not just completely throwing in the towel.
Yeah, exactly. It's like yeah. it's by having Homer like comment or like, I don't know how I'm supposed to feel about this.
Yeah.
Like it's like, yeah, just get it, you know.
I like that.
Yeah. And then we get Burns and Bobo are reunited.
So a thousand years or a million years?
But wonder.
Million?
I think it's a million.
Yeah, I think it's a million.
Yeah.
I'll never leave you behind again.
Smithers,
of course. Wait for me, sir.
Darn it. I love the music. Yeah. Like.
Brilliant. Well, sir.
That is it.
Shall we
barrel on into ratings?
Yes, sir. Please.
Let me ask you this,
oh.
Mr. Cantwell.
Whoa. Yes, sir.
How did you feel about this episode?
I tell you what, sorry. Normally, episodes with a lot of heart don't quite do it for me if it's lacking in the comedy. But I felt that this one, it had a lot of heart, and I quite enjoyed it. But the difference was it had a lot of heart, but it didn't skimp on the laughs, which usually it's a very hard thing to balance both and to have, you know, more.
That is a fine line.
The other. But I feel like this is the best one that they've done that had, you know, one of those best sort of heart episodes that they've done since we started doing the podcast. You know, that's also been able to keep it funny. The way he even Burns at the end where he's like, I'm actually happy, and all this sort of stuff. And then there was all that stuff, like you said, the scene where Homer sees the bear, where all these different things happen, and then Homer watching the sitcom, the Homer stand-up routine. Like there's so many great bits. I would have to kind of rank this as one of the highest ones of the season for me. I would give it, if you're asking for my MVP, Terry.
I am.
My MVP has got to be Burnsy. And my rating would be... Now, I tell you what, I have a rating written down here, and I'm going to scratch that. And I'm going to tell you that my rating is 8.5 out of 10.
Is that good for you? I can't tell.
For me, that's like a 10 out of 10 for you.
Oh, okay. Right. I couldn't agree more with what you were saying. For me, this is the best episode of season 5 so far. I just think the story is so big and so small at the same time. It's a real personal story about Burns wanting his bear back, but they expand the world so much, like in terms of like what this bear has gone through. I thought that was great. And they really, like I say, give you a bit more of an insight into Burns. This is the first episode where you actually feel like you kind of learn stuff about him.
Yeah.
You know, and like we said last week, he's starting to become a bit of a breakout character. Like, this is emblematic of that. Like, they're obviously recognizing they have a lot of stuff to mine with this character. Yeah. There's a lot of comedy there from. And then I actually, the Simpson family stuff I thought was great as well. Like, they didn't, Lisa wasn't too overbearing. Yeah. Marge was like chiming in with her stuff. Lisa is obviously being the voice of reason. Lisa is, for better.
Every one of the Simpsons had a good line in this, you know, which they don't always do.
Yeah. And I just, there's like you say, a lot of laughs. I think my MVP this time around is Homer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just because you can't have Burnsy without Homer in this episode. I think you need that balance of the two of them. And what, like I say, I really enjoyed a lot of Burns' stuff. The stuff with Homer is equally as good. Like, Moldy, old?
Yeah.
I gotta get something to eat. Like, okay, stupid. Yeah. Like, he's in fine form. I'm gonna give this a solid nine. Mark it down.
Jot that down right now.
Annals of History.
Is this both of our highest rated episodes of the season so far?
I think your Barbershop Quartet was higher.
Oh, it was. 8.8 I gave that.
Yeah. What was your original rating that you had written down?
I had an 8.
8?
But 8 for me is still very high.
Like, your grading scale is all over the place.
No, because I just, like, I'm rating this, I'm waiting for the 10. I haven't hit the 10. There's still episodes
I haven't hit the 10, but there's nothing that's below an 8.
Did you, I gave the last episode a 6.8.
Yeah, what are you doing? Like, it's crazy.
It was a 6.8 episode, I'm sorry. Yeah, what did you give this one, 9.5?
9,
okay.
Yeah. Shall we get our plugs in?
Please.
Where can they find us online?
They can find us on Twitter at PutInHPod. You can find us on Facebook, I believe, Terry?
You can find us on Facebook at PutInH, a Die Hard Simpsons podcast. You can leave us a little post or send us a message, whatever. There's normally pics and videos up throughout the weeks. Any sort of, if we come across any kind of funny little gifs or anything like that, they go up there too. Can they find us on any mobile device, Andy, apart from being on Twitter?
Terry, it's actually very funny that you asked that, because yes, they can find us. They can find us on iTunes, they can find us on Podcast Addict, Stitcher, I'm not so sure anymore.
Yeah, you can get us on Stitcher, I believe.
But, you know, pretty much everywhere that you get podcasts, you can find us. Search Put It In H. And I tell you what, people, I'll level with you. Leave us a goddamn review, because I'm searching the charts every day trying to find us cracking that top 200. And one thing that really bumps us up, you've been listening. Credit where it's due, you've been listening. I can't fault you for that. But give us an L review. That's like 10 listens. That's like a supercharged listen. That'll get us in the rankings. And when we win, we all win. So.
Who's we? Who's we all win?
We is me and you, and we all is everybody else. so I just want to throw that out there. Leave us a nice little review there. 5 stars on it. You know the rules.
And you can drop us a line over at putinhpod@gmail.com. That's putinhpod@gmail.com.
Yes, sir.
We do enjoy getting the old mail.
Mail, direct message, yeah. Facebook, comment. Give us anything. We will talk about it. Sorry, I sound desperate there.
Well, yeah, I can smell it.
If the shoe fits.
Well, what have we got next week, Andy?
Let me tell you now. We have the Treehouse of Horror 4, which has a reappearance of Conan O'Brien as one of the writers. We have in these short stories The Devil and Homer Simpson, where Homer sells his soul to the devil. Terror at 5.5 feet, which is Bart on the school bus with the gremlin on the side. And we have where Bart, or where the Simpsons are invited to dinner with Mr. Burns, where they discover he's a vampire. So three absolute heavyweight clips, or whatever you want to call them,
segments,
mini episodes.
Yeah. I look forward to it.
To, if you might, sinking my teeth into that episode, Terry.
Mm.
Huh?
Huh? Huh?
Vampires?
Yeah, I get it.
On that bombshell, we'll leave you and love you, people.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Goodbye.
I'd just like to say this gig sucks. Hey, up yours, Springfield.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Hell, you old bastard.
Hey, I think they liked us.
Have the Rolling Stones killed.